Amen, amen. If you would open up a copy of the scriptures, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we will consider together this morning verses 52 through 58. If you don't have a Bible, perhaps you can lean over next to a person beside you and read his or her Bible. John chapter 6, verses 52 through 58. Before we hear from our God, the reading and the preaching of his inerrant, infallible word, let us go to him with a prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and magnificent Father, we are grateful that you have granted us so great a privilege to hear from you through the reading and the preaching of your word. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would remain faithful to your promises to minister to us, to bind us up where we are hurting, to bring us together where we feel torn apart, and to save not only our souls, but, O God, one day our bodies. Be pleased, Lord, to hear our prayers and to answer them according to your riches and your glory. And we pray all of these things through Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 52. Then the Jews were quarreling amongst themselves, saying, How can this one give to us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of him. Also, that one who eats me lives because of me. This is the bread that came from heaven. Not like the fathers ate and died. The one who eats this bread lives unto eternity. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Indeed, thanks be to God. If you began creating a list of things that your parents or guardians did that you disliked, I imagine that you would have at least 4 or 5 things on your list. Being forced to do homework. Being told that you have a curfew, though you want to stay out later. Being commanded to apologize for something that you know you did not do wrong. Or even hearing the voice of your mother screaming when your father put his hands on her. The multitude of things that we can place on this list not only differ in terms of scope, but also severity. But I wonder if this one would make your top 10 list. The moment your mother became a dietitian. Now, it's circumstance specific, of course. During political season, everyone becomes a politician. When there's a theological controversy, everyone acts as if they are a trained academic. When you need medical assistance, you go to your friends, and because they visited WebMD, they're now physicians. Or when it's time to eat your vegetables, your mother or father becomes a dietitian. My mom knew that food pyramid backwards and forwards. It was the third grouping that was assigned vegetables. And she ensured that whenever we ate a meal together, I had a balanced diet. But there were times when I didn't want to eat my vegetables. But she put her foot down. She said, "Boy, you're not getting your behind up off that seat until you clean your plate."
That's right.
So I thought, you know, I hear you, Mom. But I don't want to eat these vegetables. And so when I refused that second time, because things started off, you know, somewhat light, she was trying to tell me, "Hey, this is what I want you to do." But I dug my heels in. It was after that it seemed like the temperature in the room raised like 10 degrees. It went from 68 to 78. And her voice lifted, and then she would continue by saying things like, "While you're under my roof, you're going to abide by my rules. Boy, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out." And so that should have been my cue. Okay, I really better eat what's on my plate. But I wasn't acting in the most wise manner. So in a moment of anguish, I started sweating drops of blood. My heart became very sorrowful with me. And I decided to see how smart my mother was. So when she wasn't looking, I would take a few of those veggies and I would try to slide them off the plate onto the floor. Because, you know, there's no way my mom's going to make me eat what's on the floor, right? But she quickly reminded me I have eyes in the back of my head. And she saw that too. And so I couldn't even kick them under the table. She said, "What are you doing? I wasn't born yesterday." And I'm thinking, we're just trying to eat. Does the conversation have to be that intense just because I won't eat these few items on my plate? And then I began to wonder, I wonder what it's like in other people's households. Surely things aren't always this intense when they want to eat a meal. And so because I had a few white friends and I used to watch the Brady Bunch, I just wondered, is there ever a time when my mother, if she was white, would say something to me like, "You know, we want to ensure that you eat all of your vegetables." You know, something like that. I don't know. But what I do know is that if you disobey any mother, she has the right to become quite stern with her child. I didn't realize what my mother was on to until years later. She knew something that I did not. What you eat, at least all circumstances being normal, affects how long you live. You see, the paradigm that she had embraced was that the reason we eat is to live. And so eat these vegetables because hopefully that's going to ensure not only the manner in which you live, but also, again, the duration. We eat to live. Did you notice in verse 52 and verses 53 and 54 and 56, 57 and 58, each of those verses contains the word eat? It's because it matters what we eat. Does it not? Well, Jesus has now given those who are following him another reason to dispute. In verse 41, they were speaking amongst themselves because Jesus said, not only is he the bread of life, but he has also descended from heaven. And because these Jews believed that they knew his father Joseph, as well as his mother, surely you're not the one who has descended from heaven. You come from around the way. But Jesus had to correct their way of thinking so that they would realize that they do not know his father. Because his father resides in heaven, and Joseph had absolutely nothing to do with Jesus' birth. But now here's something else. Because Jesus has gone on to say that he is not only the bread that has come down from heaven, but verse 51, if anyone eats that bread, he lives forever. And this is the bread that I give, namely my flesh. So now they're having this heated dispute. How can Jesus be one to give us his flesh? Is he advocating some type of cannibalism? Does he want us to begin picking at his arms and his shoulders so that we might literally have a taste of Jesus? Or was he speaking about something else? One thing is certain, that whatever he means, he is saying that what must take place is that if these Jews who are remaining before him, and if you today desire to live, you must eat to live. It's not the other way around. These verses reverse that paradigm. One of my favorite reality television shows is Survivor. It's probably on its 34th or so season. I think one of the reasons I like that reality television show is because it combines a sense of mystery, camaraderie, problem-solving abilities. I mean, there's like a whole lot of things that go into this television show, and the purpose is not only for us to be entertained, but if you're actually in the television show, it's to be the last one standing. If you haven't seen it, they basically take a group of people, drop them off an island somewhere, and they have to form these alliances, do these activities that require mental and physical stamina, and you should not ever be the person who is voted off. Because if you were voted off, you didn't go home. But the show continues. Well, being a reality television show, I didn't know how much of it was real or staged. Until I watched some of the behind-the-scenes footage. And one of the things that those who were participating in this television show said was that they lost significant amounts of weight. Because they were given, throughout this episode and the entire season, very small quantities of food. I mean, literally little cups of rice and maybe a few glasses of water, and they were supposed to survive off of that the entire day. Meanwhile, the sun is beaming down on them. And if they were lucky, they would get some fishing equipment. But fishing equipment doesn't guarantee that you're actually going to catch fish. There was only one source of food for those on this television show. And what they realized in the midst of all of their activities, in the midst of all of the alliances they were trying to form, was that they needed to eat to live. They had to eat the rice. They had to go out there and catch fish. It wasn't the other way around. They didn't have a lot of choices where they could just drive down and pick up some Mickey D's. Jesus is saying, if you want to live, there is only one source where you're going to find life. And it's in him. It's in Jesus. If anyone will eat my flesh and drink my blood, verse 54, not only will I raise him up on the last day, but he will have eternal life.
That's right.
Eternal life.
That's right.
The forgiveness of sins. The favor with God. Being on a one-track journey to see the Christ who gave himself for you. Eternal life. It doesn't matter if you are an atheist. Everybody wants that.
That's right. That's right.
Whether they confess it or not. And this gift comes through the Son of Man, who desired to do the will of his Father by being like us, tempted in all ways, yet without sin. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. Remember, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And now it's that same person. It's that same Jesus. It's that same Christ who says, if you want life, you have to eat me. I mean, it's one thing to try to fathom the crucifixion of the Son of Man. It's something completely different to somehow imagine that we have to literally eat his flesh. There's a striking statement in the Bible. I wonder if you've heard it. There is neither Jew and Greek, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian. Paul in Colossians chapter 3 said there is neither barbarian or Scythian. According to some, this group of people were cannibals. Do you mean to tell me that you can eat the flesh of someone and then have your sins forgiven? I guess, in some respects, even cannibalism is forgiven. Is that what Jesus meant? Well, he took it a step further. And not only was he telling those in front of whom he stood that they must eat his flesh, but he also says you must drink my blood to have eternal life. Drink his blood? Well, it makes sense if you recall the setting for this narrative. Surely there were thousands of people who followed him because they heard the signs that he had accomplished. And then when they approached him, he performed another miracle by taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, multiplying them and feeding the masses. So they just finished eating the loaves, and now he's making this connection with his flesh. I mean, this is very close in proximity. Surely they're bewildered. And yet before that took place, same chapter, verse 4, we hear that the Passover was near. You recall the Passover, don't you? On the first month of the year, the 10th day, they were to take a lamb without spots or blemish. In other words, they were to take a perfect lamb. And on the 14th day of that first month of the year, they were to slay the lamb and eat its flesh, but also take its blood and apply it to the doorpost and the lintel. And as God was passing through the land, exacting his wrath upon people, he would see that blood upon the doorpost and say, those are my people, they're safe. They've eaten the flesh of the lamb. They've taken its blood. But even in the initial creation of the Passover, God's people weren't called to drink or eat the blood. Leviticus 17, right? You don't eat blood. God will remove you from his people. You don't eat blood. God will remove you from his presence. And then in that same chapter, there is this interesting statement. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus was not suggesting to those who were following him that they should violate God's law. Read Acts chapter 10. But it makes sense, doesn't it? That if we were going to have the life of Jesus, if we were going to receive that eternal life, then we must also drink his blood. Literally? Figuratively? This somewhat radical statement came on the tail end of Jesus using the refrain, truly, truly, I say to you. That should have caused you to realize he was going to say something out of this world. John chapter 1, truly, truly, I say to you, heaven will be open and you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John chapter 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 5, truly, truly, I say to you, there is an hour coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and when they hear it, they will live. Right. He says it again, truly, truly, I say to you. He unravels our normal way of thinking and demands that if we are going to have life, there is only one source, verse 55. It is his flesh and it is his blood. Literally? Spiritually? from Judea. He was making his way back to Galilee. He could have done exactly that and gone around Samaria that was right here, but he decided to cut through Samaria because he had a date with a Samaritan woman. And as he approaches this well, he notices her. And Jesus wasn't Southern, so he didn't have this nice way of going about trying to say, "Hey, how are you doing today? Nice weather outside, right?" A few other things before he finally gets to the point. He meets this woman and says, "Give me a drink." Just like, kind of like the way some of you order fast food and you walk into the place, "Hey, I need a cheeseburger, a couple of fries, and a soda." Right? "Give me a drink," he says to her. And immediately, she does something that frightens most of us. Especially when we're crossing those racial lines. She turns the conversation immediately into something about race. How is it you, a Jew, can talk to someone like me, a Samaritan woman, and ask for a drink? Jesus engages that. And he said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and I would have given you living water." It doesn't click immediately. But as Jesus continues to engage her, finally she realizes, "You're the Christ." And the very reason that she came to that well, namely to get water, she left her bucket there and hightailed it back to her town to make sure everyone else knew, "Come, see a man who told me everything. Could this be the Christ?" But remember, Jesus said to her, "If you would have asked, I would have given you living water." Literally? Well, if that was the case, she missed it because she left her bucket there and took off. Rather, Jesus was engaging her whole person to say, if you want eternal life, if you want to receive the salvation that is of the Jews, you must receive this living water. You must drink from this bucket by faith. Trusting in me, receiving and resting upon Christ alone for your salvation. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to receive eternal life. And she did. 2 chapters later, Jesus now says, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." No. By faith, you must feast upon Jesus. By faith, you must recognize that here, John is painting a different picture of Christ than he was in chapter 4. It's not the living water here. It's that he would be the ultimate sacrifice. He would be like that lamb that was slain and blood that was shed upon the doorpost and the lintel. He would be one who, according to his Father's good purpose and will, he would voluntarily march to a cross, and there his flesh would be shredded as nails went through his hands and his feet, and he shed his blood. That act of sacrificial love should be received by faith.
That's right.
Because as Jesus said, when you eat his flesh, when you eat or drink his blood, translation, when you receive him, you have eternal life. The issue is not with what Jesus said. And as we will see, Lord willing, very soon, this was a very large saying for many of them, so they turned around and they left. The issue, again, is not with what Jesus said. The issue is that we have developed all kind of competing so-called saviors that convey to us, if we want to live, we must consume those things. Walk through them all. Watch football or basketball or baseball, and not only the game, but the commercials in between. They're selling you something. And it's not just buy the latest electronic device. It's not if you buy these shoes or hands, you'll be a part of the in crowd. It's not even, you know, if you drive this car, obviously, when you're driving by, everybody's going to stop and go. I mean, under all of that is, in my opinion, or arguably the most competing so-called savior, and it's this. Happiness. Buy these clothes, you'll look good, you'll be happy. Buy this house, surely you'll be able to invite more people over, and you'll be happy. Hang out here, have this drink, like Pepsi, and you'll be happy. That is the competing narrative that we have to combat every single day.
Right.
Happiness sells. And while it is good to be happy, I can assure you of that, I like it just as much as all of you. It's never good when it becomes your savior.
That's right. That's right.
When you feel as if the way you're going to be lifted out of the rut is to become happy. That if your children would just behave a certain way, well, guess what? You'll be happy. Or if you're really, really mature, you just go on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and make the rest of the world think you're happy. I can't recall the first time, not the last time, I can't even recall one time when someone put on social media a picture of their children arguing. Always smiling. Always playing well. I can't think of one time I've seen someone put on social media a husband and wife or a boyfriend and a girlfriend in a feud. Nope. Always smiling, hugging. And because obviously we all need to know what you ate for dinner last night, take a picture of that. Happiness is what we are being sold. Is that your savior? Is that the place where you feel like you find life? Jesus says there's only one source. It's in him.
Amen.
That's right.
It's if you eat his flesh and if you drink his blood, it's in him.
That's right.
An average height Jewish man, it's in him.
Yeah. Yep.
Who was the Word of God who became flesh, it was in him.
That's right.
That you find life. It's in him that you find joy. It's in him.
Yeah.
Where he says by faith you can remain.
That's right.
Happiness comes and goes.
Yeah.
But when you remain in Jesus, it is fixed. It is secure.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
He has secured you.
Amen.
This is what you
Amen.
Need, beloved.
That's right. Amen.
This is what I need. I need someone in whom I can find life and security and comfort.
Because
yeah. Everything else is fleeting.
Amen. That's right.
Bless this one who was sent by his father. He found life as a man and his heavenly father.
That's right.
He said, if you're going to find that same life, you have to find it in me.
Amen.
Believe, he says. Because I am, verse 58, the bread that is come down from heaven. Not like the bread the Father is able to. Another clue. Jesus could not be talking about literal consumption because when they ate in the wilderness, literally, they died. Or you can just scroll over to John chapter 13. Judas ate physically too. What happened to him? Jesus is saying, receive me by faith. Receive these words by trusting in me, and it is there you will feast upon my flesh. It is there you will feast upon my blood. It is there you will find the forgiveness of sins, adoption, justification,
yeah.
sanctification,
yeah.
one day glorification,
yeah.
and you're going to have life.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you want it?
Sir, yes, sir.
All the stuff we have going on today.
Yeah, yeah.
All the nonsense with our children. All the nonsense in our marriages.
Yeah, yeah, right.
If we're single, dealing with our own sin or the sin of others, don't you want this eternal
sir,
life?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't you want to have a clear conscience?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you want to look forward to a day when you don't have to worry about looking on Fox News or CNN and read or hear people talking about explosives and going to war?
Yeah.
You only want to answer. I can assure you of that. It's by eating to me.
That's right.
There's your answer. And even if things in this life don't get a whole lot better, I can assure you, you will walk through that door unto eternal life. And there, though you have it now, there in that new heavens and that new earth, you will remain. Have you ever been to a children's museum or a theme park? And when you go in, have fun with the kids, or maybe you don't have kids, you're having fun by yourself. Sorry, y'all lonely out there. You have a friend in Jesus.
That's right.
But when you want to leave, they'll either put a band around your wrist or stamp something on your hand, right? So that signifies that you can come and go as you please.
Right.
When you walk through that door unto eternal life, there is no returning. You stay there.
Yep.
There is no band around your wrist or stamp upon your hand. You are there permanently because Jesus has secured you.
Right.
Again, you're not transitioning back and forth playing the fence.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Jesus has gripped you so that you can remain there.
That's right.
Completely and fully in His grasp.
Amen.
Because He loves you.
That's right. That's right.
In these verses, Jesus flips the paradigm on its head. You must eat to live. Eat His flesh. Eat His blood. To close, I think many of you know that I started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu not too long ago. And I've learned a lot. As a matter of fact, if you get really close up on my face, you'll see I have a bunch of bruises and scratches. That's from that. My wife didn't do anything to me. But I've had to unlearn a lot of stuff because I did judo for several years. So when we can be on our chest or on our backs, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu says, don't be on your chest, don't be on your back. So I'm trying to unlearn these things, but at the same shop where I take this class, they also have a judo class. So last week I decided after my class, I would sit through and just observe. Took me back to the old days. And afterwards, the instructor comes up to me and he says, hey, are you interested? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you have any experience? I said, yes, sir. And then he asked me this question. He said, how much do you weigh? And I thought, with all of the heavenly incomparableness, I don't know why you're asking me that, but I'll tell you what I weigh in a minute. And I said to him, I said, well, before I answer that question, I said, should I tell you how much I want to weigh or how much I actually do weigh? I said, no, you tell me how much you do weigh. So I told him. And it was then I realized the reason I don't weigh what I want to weigh is because I've been living to eat. I'm the God that wants to stop by the convenience store and grab my candy, grab my Snickers, my Skittles, my Starburst. Then I want to swing over to Cookout for about $6. Bread, cheeseburger, steak style, fries, chicken nuggets, and a large soft drink. See what I'm saying? $6, you can't beat it, right? And I'm going back 2 or 3 times during the day, and next thing you know, I got some stuff I gotta get rid of. Why? Because I am living to eat. Jesus flips that on its head. He says, if you want to live, it matters what you eat. Therefore, eat to live.
Right.
Not talking about cooking. I'm talking about the flesh and the blood of Jesus. Have you eaten today? Have you by faith consumed Jesus? His life for yours, His death for yours, as He paid for the wrath that you deserve from God. And He took it upon His own shoulder blades, was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the
dead. Right.
And consumed Jesus.
Amen.
Because I can assure you, if you have, eternal life is yours. And I can assure you that God will continue to transform your heart so that you have a regularly balanced diet of eating to live.
Good.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.